I'm Rico Hackett Fairchild, and you're listening to Ravens Weekly.
You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone, and welcome to episode 33 of Ravens Weekly, the official Bromley FC podcast, proudly sponsored by our friends at Crown Ash Developments. As ever, I'm joined by Matt.
Hello, Jeff.
No idea where cookies. Coming up on this week's episode, Roger Johnson tells it how it is.
Choose my view, we owe them one.
Rico enjoys his Tuesday night at Hayes Lane.
Yeah, no, I'm absolutely buzzing.
Alan Dunn enjoys a bit of bingo.
Full awesome.
Ammo enjoys some one-on-one time with Cookie.
We need to do an interview, and I've had four or five people jump in on it.
We find out what a wonderful season Aldershot are having.
Where do I start with our season, really? It's been a disastrous campaign.
And Cookie forgets who he's interviewing.
Brilliant.
Neil. That's good, isn't it?
Neil.
Right, where to start then, Matt? I guess we should probably start with Salford away.
Yes.
We lost her next.
Let's get it out of the way. Let's get it out of the way.
Matt, yourself, from Comedy Duo, and Adam Mecki. You again.
It was fantastic to have Adam by my side. I did think I'd be commentating and tweeting on my own for the entire game as James got stuck in quite bad traffic and I wasn't sure what time he was going to arrive. Luckily enough, James very kindly took on the tweeting during the game so I could focus on commentating with Adam, and what a pleasure it was to be joined by him. As we've said so many times, he gives such an insight that ourselves might not be able to provide in terms of the tactical side of the game and actually what it feels like to be in the position that the players are on the pitch. Shame it wasn't in different circumstances, but it's great. He's fantastic to have.
Well, it's all going to plan 5 minutes to go, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. I mean, it was one of those games you thought was just going to end 0-0 despite the fact Salford were on top for majority of it, really.
I think someone said to me, if we hadn't have got the penalty and scored the penalty,
I agree.
It would have ended 0-0.
Totally agree. The penalty, we scored it, and even at the time I remember saying this game's not over, and it was far from over. Salford, if anything, absolutely ramped it up after we scored the penalty, and obviously scored twice, and it was all very predictable. You could see it coming. It was just wave after wave after wave of Salford attack, and we couldn't unfortunately hold out for the rest of the game and the 4 minutes of injury time that followed, or five I should say.
Yeah, it's obviously summarised for those who don't know. Obviously, it was 2-1 in the end, wasn't it? How many added time?
I think it's 5 minutes. Yeah, we seem to be having a lot of injury time in our games recently.
Yeah,
hasn't boded well for us, really.
We seem to manage to get over it pretty quickly, though. Tuesday at home to Orient. Where to start? I mean, what an absolutely fantastic night under the lights. It had everything. Brilliant.
Wasn't it Ammo? I think that yourself and I were sat in the Ravens bar during the day just getting everything ready, and Ammo came in and said, I've got a feeling tonight's going to be a good night. And we both said that we had a little inkling, and you just get that, don't you? I think we had it the last time we played them at home, and it really, really was. From the atmosphere to what happened on the pitch, especially in the second half, it was just
hell of a build-up to it, because we were over 3,000 crowd. I think our highest league crowd of the season, but Peterborough, I think, is the only game to beat it. I think,
yes,
possibly.
And that was only by
possibly.
About
I think there was
100
another game.
People. Yeah,
but it was an absolutely fantastic atmosphere, and I think it must have been a second or third minute when Sam Wood shoulder barged their fella into the advertising board right in front of the Orient fans on that far side, and it was like that was just a signal. It was going off from that point onwards. Even the Orient fans became louder. The Bromley fans became louder. Yeah, I mean, you could tell that our boys are fired up to it. Obviously, a bit of history from what everyone... I mean, social media in these circumstances is always brilliant. Whenever you play a team and you get some bad losers, etc. Saying that, before I go on to that, we should probably actually cover the game, Matt. Sorry.
Yeah, let's rewind momentarily. So, obviously, the first half, it looked like... It was quite a cagey affair. Leighton Orient probably slightly, very slightly on top. Both sides had chances. They had one cleared off the line, which was the best chance. And the curse of injury time struck again. 2 minutes were added on at the end of the first half, and Leighton Orient took the lead. Josh Coulson with a scrappy goal... after a game of pinball, what it looked like in the box. Obviously, a very strong team talk from Neil at half-time, and it looked like from the off in the second half we were going for it, we were attacking, and just 2-3 minutes in, we were awarded a penalty for a foul on George Pawtree, who was through on goal.
Straight red.
Straight red for Marvin Ekpeteta, and Frankie Sutherland stepped up, and
what a
nerves
pain.
Of
because hours away,
of steel.
Hours away. I mean, they didn't stop to around the referee, still arguing yeah. about decision and everything. It just went on and on and on.
It seemed to be an age, didn't yeah. it? And he dispatched. I think the word for the penalty, sending the goalkeeper the wrong way. And even if he went the right way, let's be honest, he's not saving that, is he? So that was fantastic. And after that, it was one-way traffic, really, wasn't it? Orient had a couple of chances, but Rico Hackett-Fairchild with,
could have been 6-1 again,
man. Rico Hackett-Fairchild with the goal. Fantastic play from Frankie Raymond and Luke Coulson in the build-up to it. Raymond with an absolutely on-the-money cross. We know he's capable of that.
You see them do it in training. You see them, they work on the
set. It was a training goal, wasn't it?
And they stick the defenders where they think the defenders will be, and they go through phases of play and try and anticipate and recreate, you know, the game scenario. That was textbook. I'm sure there's probably, Roman's got a piece of video footage somewhere of an identical goal from training. It was brilliant.
It was fantastic, and the ball just into the back post. It was one of those crosses where it's criminal not to score. But it was a brilliant finish from Rico.
But he jumped up early, he's over the top of the fence, honestly.
Headed it into the ground and past the goalkeeper. Fantastic scenes after the goal. And he really deserves that. He's really impressed everybody since he's come in on and off the pitch. A great lad off it. And we'll hear from him later, actually. And absolutely fantastic performances. He was unlucky not to score at Braintree. And then after that, I mean, we hit the bar. We hit the post.
Oh, Brindley. Was it Brindley strike?
Brindley, 25 yards.
That someone got deserved it on, the someone goal. Someone got it on their mobile phone footage from behind the goal. What an angle.
Seen, yeah.
Wow, it's absolutely brilliant.
And late in Orient with a couple of chances, and then Frankie Raymond sort of deep into 7 minutes of injury time at the end of the game. You can imagine how that felt. 7 minutes. Frankie Raymond just absolutely sending one of their defenders for a hot dog. In the box, he's gone for a rollover at the tee up. And he's passed it, I think is the word, passed it onto the inside of the post. He beat the keeper, but it's hit the inside of the post and rolled away to safety for Orient.
Oh. And
that would have wrapped it up and made those last few minutes a little bit less nervy. But
it was,
nevertheless, we
it
won.
It was just what a fantastic night. And I know in amongst that we had George Porter's tackle on
Josh Caroma.
Obviously, a bit of history there. Caroma running a length of the field to celebrate in front of George.
As well as all of their teams surrounding George.
At the last win. You've then got the bloke in the red cap for Orient getting sent off. Is he the assistant manager?
He is the assistant manager.
Him getting sent off, and then... And this was all in the space of about 3 minutes. And then to annoy everyone even more, or sorry, annoy the Orient fans even more, Neil then brings George off for the substitute.
Yeah.
It's had everything. You talk about games under the lights and specific Tuesday night games, and I'll probably go back over a decade now and you go, what, you know, your top three. And
two of them are Orient.
Probably. You know what? Yeah. Probably two of them are Orient. Beating Graves in the North Fleet in the Kent City Cup on Georgia Billy back in 05, I think it was brilliant. Beating the Wombles, the old AFC Wimbledon in the playoff semi-final, I think 2006, 2007, I think it was. Nick McDonald header 1-0. The ground was packed. Just heads, sea of heads everywhere. You couldn't see terrace, you couldn't see seat, and you couldn't see anything. And you know what? And I'm sure there's probably Orient fans listening in, still seething from the game and wondering what everyone's going to say. And it's not, you don't want to incite things and everything, but they do have that sense of the AFC Wimbledon when they were in our league. They shouldn't have been here. They're a football league club, and they've got divine right not to be in this level. And they talk down to everybody and non-league this and non-league that. Well, not. Realising, accept you. I don't know what the word is. No. You are the same. You're at the same level of
they
football as us. Do understand that. Do respect that. And, again, I mean, the officials at the club, Lindsay at Leighton, has been absolutely fantastic with the ticketing arrangements for us. Couldn't have asked for anything more. She's really, really helpful. I think over 1,100 sold on that side. I think without her, we really would have struggled to sort of manage that. And I know for all the issues that happened, I mean, a dugout was being absolutely kicked to pieces on that far side by
the fans. Caving in was one word I heard.
There's the rejections, etc. And also, there's a couple of idiots on our side as well who were threw some plastic bottles and stuff, and they were rejected.
Disappointing to see.
Their chief executive took his time after the game to come over to Alf, the on-duty police officer, and Cookie to apologise for the behaviour of the Orient fans, which was, you know, obviously very, in that situation. What more, you know, what more can you do? But yeah, obviously everything on social media afterwards and all the
and
all
it's still going on.
It's bizarre. It's what are we now? We're 6 o'clock on a Friday.
Get over it. You lost the game. Still get going over it. On.
But there was that sense of it's almost the Wimbledon-esque, not to the extreme of them, the goal from the halfway line, all of that. No. But there was that very much sense of better than us, and you know we it's only a matter of time until we're out of here. And I promise you, he was. But then his interview afterwards, Justin Ebrett, there's a quote about what's he put. He's put those two tackles there with intent to injure.
If you look at, they've actually slow mo replayed George's tackle.
Oh, it's quite funny because they didn't put a slow mo on the goals.
No.
Really
they
bizarre.
Didn't.
You thought the two, you know, the two main key moments. You thought they would have put the slow mo, but they didn't.
No, they didn't. They did
that
on George's
wasn't
tackle,
available at that time.
Which actually just shows that actually it wasn't with intent.
Did they do
to
it
injure.
For his red card? For the red card fella, did they put that in slow-mo?
They might have done. Yeah, I think they did actually.
To show that despite the fact that everyone said, he actually went down in the box.
He did, yeah.
Oh, it's brilliant.
It's a clumsy challenge. He's got no intent to play the ball at all, has he? So,
it's one of those nights I wish I was rammed, stuck behind the goal between hundreds of Bromley fans, absolutely shoulder to shoulder, going mental when they went in. It was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Must say as well, just a thank you to the Orient kit man who left the... I just popped into the away dressing room after the game, and sometimes you see it left in a complete state, but actually I made a point of thanking him actually for tidying it up and leaving it as new, really. So it's a rarity nowadays, but it's a nice little touch, which is appreciated.
Definitely. All in all, some very very nice people over at Orient, and they were massively helpful. Like I said, I think on the night that they've been let down by a few...
A minority of idiots, so.
And obviously, a lot of clubs get questioned for maybe censoring players, for example, telling them what they should say in interviews, or briefing them on here's what you've got to say, here's what you need to say, and. Not us.
We don't
do that.
That's
not us, no. What we do is we let Roger Johnson go onto a live stream interview with the National League straight after the game at full time on the pitch to share his thoughts on the game. And here's what he had to say.
Big night for the club, what result?
Huge night. We owed them one. It's a massive game for us tonight, and we've come out on top.
Him sort of sending off.
I don't really care. We're 1-2-1. That's all I care about.
I think man to man, we had them today. I think we deserve the win, especially second half. But what a win. I'm enjoying the night now.
Absolutely brilliant there from Roger Johnson. Absolutely love it. What was the question? Do you think it was it all hinged on the red card or something, did it?
Yeah, a bit of a strange one, that. Not one I'd ask personally, but hey-ho, each to their own.
It's brilliant. Who cares? I don't care. It's great, but I love it. In fact, he said we owed him one, etc. Clearly the defeat over there last year obviously sat that deep with a lot of the players, I think, after that game, especially the behaviour around George Porter when they scored the winner, etc. And I think you could see that on Tuesday night. And I mean, just what a... I'll talk about magical night. Obviously, we've played a bit on that. What some of the criticism on Twitter from Orient fans has all been about mid-table mediocrity, celebrating
cup final
and all of that. But it was just... It was just brilliant to see the meltdown from the fans after the game.
Just stand back and observe.
On social media and everything. And even their commentator, if he's tuning in, I mean, we've got to have words, because he turned up to the ground about 5 hours early from Orient. We let him in.
Made him very welcome.
Of course, we always do. We let them live stream the game for starters. We then let them take over our filming position and take up five rows on the back seat.
Two cameras,
which, by the way, we've only got about 200 seats in the entire ground. So we've gone out of our way to help them. This geezer don't stop on Twitter.
No.
He's on Twitter absolutely snagging off everything. I couldn't believe it.
Well, he won't be commentating.
But anyway, for those of you who are listening and don't follow social media or don't follow anything, probably good idea, actually. And in moments like this, it's not always the most enjoyable. However, it is quite funny sometimes. Obviously, we usually catch a manager after the game, Neil Smith. Unfortunately, he was involved in a massive tear-up in a... No, I'm joking. He lost
his voice.
He literally... didn't have a voice.
He came to me after the game.
I spoke to him at the game, couldn't hear him.
He didn't bother trying to speak to me. He just pointed to his throat and just did the no sign.
Actually, brilliant. So
and then pointed to Alan Dunn, who walked towards
I think
us.
He pointed to Ammo, and then Ammo pointed to Alan Dunn. And then Alan Dunn pointed, and no one was there. Yeah. So I think Alan Dunn was given the post-match duties, and here's what he had to say.
Alan, I think that's what you call a classic night under floodlights.
Brilliant, what a result. I think the last time we played them, there was a bit of friction there. But to have a full house and play the team as top of the league shows we're competing. What a night, what an atmosphere at the place. Rocking and really pleased with the result.
And it seemed like we were a bit reserved first off, but second off, completely different story. Attack from the start and played really, really well.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit, you're playing the top of the league side at times, full house, you can be a little bit of nerves and they do look like they got the early goal, and at half time we had to change things a little bit. Come out and show great character second half and a fantastic goal to win it from Rico.
And it was Rico's first goal for the club. He was fantastic tonight, wasn't he?
Yeah, again, for such a young age, showed maturity against arguably the best team in the league. Showed his quality, and a goal like that, it just topped off a fantastic night and really pleased for him.
And obviously Saturday was difficult to take, but really turned it round tonight and showed what this team is made of.
Yeah, and you have weeks like that, weeks where you can see last minute goals, and tonight it was our night, and I think we deserved that of late. We put in some good performances and not being rewarded, and I felt tonight we got that little bit of luck and we got the penalty, and then look, I think it was a fair result in the end.
And obviously we entertain all the shot here on Saturday, another home game, plenty of incentive for people who may have come down for the first time tonight to come back.
Yeah, no game's an easy game. Look, they're fighting for their lives. It's a tough game. But with a crowd like that tonight, it is a force to be reckoned with, to help the team anyway. And it showed that tonight. And we want to finish the season strong in a positive way, take it into next year, the momentum.
Great to hear from Danny there at the end of the game. As you mentioned there, Matt, obviously Rico, a fantastic goal to win the game.
Absolutely, yeah. And as we've mentioned earlier, a player who's come in had a real impact on the side, both on the wing and up front, and got a deserved goal, as we've been mentioning, on Tuesday night. I managed to catch up with him after that game, and here's what he had to say. Rico, you join us after a thrilling 2-1 win against Leyton Orient. Can you describe your emotions at the minute?
Yeah, no, I'm absolutely buzzing. Last couple of games, I think we played really well, and then got a lead and let it go in the last five minutes, last kick of the game was the winner for Salford. And today I think the boys put in a great performance, especially in the second half, and going 2-1 up and keeping a lead. I thought we showed great character and just shows how good we are as a team.
An electric atmosphere as well, must have been great to play in.
Yeah, no, it was unreal. Yeah, to get the winning goal as well, great feeling, good account, good start to my loan at Bromley.
And a brilliant ball in from Frankie Raymond for the header, wasn't it? Absolutely on the money.
Yeah, no, it was a great ball. Like ball like that, I think it's hard to not score with that ball. But yeah, said thanks to Frank after the game. It was a great ball.
And a fantastic dressing room atmosphere at the minute. Just been in there, everyone's buzzing. It's great to see.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think especially how we've lost the last few games, and then obviously the draw. It's definitely good to finally get the win, and especially in a game like that, it was unreal.
And obviously you played an outstanding game at Braintree last week and came so close to scoring on so many occasions. You must be really pleased to get a deserved goal tonight.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think Braintree, I was very disappointed not to score, and I think I've been waiting for that one. It was probably the best game I could have scored in, to be fair. But yeah, buzzing.
Congratulations, Rico, very well deserved.
Cheers, thank you very much. Cheers.
Great to hear from Rico there. Matt obviously speaks incredibly well, very highly of the club.
Yeah, absolutely.
And his teammates.
Yeah, he's a great player that's come into the side recently. And people will not have known a lot about him since from when he came in. He did play against us for Charlton under-23s back when we beat them 3-1 in January. But we didn't get to see an awful lot of him that night. Magic of the Cup. But no, he's been fantastic since he's coming in. He's cemented a place in the starting lineup. And Jack's been saying as well, just another great character in the dressing room, which always makes a difference. Character is such an important thing when you're bringing a player in. They can be the best player, but if they bring a bad atmosphere into the dressing room, it can be quite the reverse effect.
That's a book in itself. obviously, right, we weren't able to hear from Neil. We managed to hear from Alan Dunn. And the other third of the three amigos, of course, is Mr. Mark Hammond, Academy Director, who was also enjoying himself in the dugout by the looks of it on Tuesday night. It was their assistant manager who got sent off, wasn't it?
It was.
Was he the fella in the red cap?
He was, yeah.
I don't know. People won't get an opportunity to watch it back on the video, I guess, because it's probably with the FA for some charge that we're going to end up receiving at some point. But their bloke with the red cap absolutely lost it, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
I think it was a George Porter tackle and the subsequent substitution and the ref. Because I thought it all died down and the ref came back over and sent him off again, didn't he? And then he was still throwing arms out and everything like that. And I always like to try and catch up with the guys and find out exactly what happened to Ammo and Danny and Neil Romsey all in their dugout. And I think did Ammo describe him as a bus driver or something like that?
Yeah. He's apparently asking that question, yeah.
He's apparently called him a bus driver or something. That's tipped him over the edge.
Yeah.
But I'm sure if anybody managed to catch Ammo over drinking the bar at some point after the game, I'm sure he'll elaborate further. Nevertheless, Ammo outside of the first team, obviously, he's doing a fantastic job with the academy, and the speed at which that's grown has been absolutely amazing. Unfortunately, myself or Matt weren't around, so we had to send Cookie to go and catch up with him. No, sorry, I was around because I walk in on him halfway through.
I was.
But here's David Cook at his most professional best, interviewing Mr. Mark Hammond.
Joined by Mark Hammond for the podcast, Ravens Weekly. Mark, first of all, it's been a busy week. A fantastic result against Leighton Orient on Tuesday, though, wasn't it?
Outstanding result. Phenomenal. From top to bottom. The whole club. It's probably in my top. We're just being joined by the general manager, Jeff Hutton. Just talking about the Orient game, Jeff. Just what it's generated, the buzz around the whole club. Every staff member. It's probably in my top three.
Yeah.
In the 6 years that I've been here, I would probably beating Western Supermere to win the league, to go up, to get promoted. Obviously the Wembley day, but more so the day out. But everything, we lost on penalties. But then the other night was probably one of the best wins I've been a part of since we've been at the club. We're joined by Alan Dunn, Sir Alan Dunn.
Yeah, so, it's been great. Enjoyed it.
Everyone's coming in there. We picked a perfect time for the interview. Everyone's
I've just been Hammo. I need to pin you down. We need to do an interview, and I've had four or five people jump in on it.
So, just going back, obviously your another role being away from the first team is the academy, as we know. Fantastic for the lads this week. The under-18s have headed up to Scotland playing the likes of Kilmarnock and Dundee. Incredible for Bromley to be a presence and getting that reputation for actually going up there and playing teams like that, isn't it?
Well, previous to that, we was invited to Blackburn Rovers, so it's kind of we're billing it as a tour of the north. And it's just through connections, through Danny Mills. He played with a couple of coaches, he played with a coach at Brighton. He now works at Blackburn, and then Alex Dyer, he's now the assistant manager at Kilmarnock. So he's made these opportunities for our young boys coming through. And by all accounts, we gave a good performance, strong performance against Blackburn. Drew 3-3 with Kilmarnock and lost 3-2 to Dundee. I spoke with Millsy and he said, yeah, we've more than held our own. It's good to see, but we need to be on the circuit now playing the Football League and the Premier League clubs, just so that we can measure ourselves and look how we can close the gap and hopefully bring that one through. We are close. We've made two debuts this year, and I'm hoping that we can get somebody off the bench in the next five games. But obviously that's down to Neil Smith. But fingers crossed we can get an academy boy make his debut in the National League.
That's brilliant. Similar to Aidan Enver the other year against Gateshead, wasn't it? Just wanted to touch on Aldershot as well. A team that is close to your heart. You played for them. Must be disappointing to see them in that position. And obviously, a Bromley victory could all but put them down by about 1 point, I think. But not nice to see a former club like that in this position as such a powerhouse in the conference and League Two.
It's an amazing club. Huge fan base. The local area, they live and breathe Aldershot town. They really do. And I'm still close friends with one or two staff members and people that work in the background and a couple of supporters. And I've received a text this week, you know, a little bit of banter saying, look, can you do us a favour and stuff like that? But obviously there's a professional job to do. But yeah, we've just got to be professional. We're striving for top 10 finish and hopefully secure a Kent Cup final. And we've got to do that on Saturday and get 3 points.
Brilliant. Neil.
That's good, isn't it?
Yeah. Neil.
Mark Abbott, thank you very much for joining us.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Neil. He's brilliant. A 10 out of 10 there from Cookie, as always.
That's brilliant.
Just in case you're wondering why he's not on this recording this evening. Where's he at? He's out running a marathon again, isn't he?
Yeah, training.
Marathon man. Saying that, it's coming up soon, isn't it, for Neil and Cookie?
It is, yeah.
Can't be that long ago, a couple of weeks away.
Both have been training, yeah.
After Solihull, isn't it?
It's got to be around the corner.
I'm sure it's after the Solihull game.
Or isn't it Ebbsfleet? After the Ebbsfleet game?
Oh, no, Sunday 28th of April, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the day after Ebbsfleet, isn't it?
Bloody.
Wow, end of the season and
blimey.
And the marathon, yeah.
What's their page, do you know, for the donations?
I'll find out for you in a second.
I'll keep talking while you try and find out.
Yeah.
Bit of improv there. Yeah, great to hear from Hammo there as always. The academy, I must admit, it's so hard to keep up with it at times. And apologies, I know we don't do the best job in making sure everyone's fully up to date with what's going on. But up in Blackburn 1 minute, I'm in Scotland the next. Again, the under 23s in, is it final, Matt?
Yes, yeah, they are against, I can't remember, it begins with an A. Abbey Rangers,
nailed it. Yeah, like Hammo says there, great opportunity potentially in these last few games of the season for another academy scholar potentially to make his debut, which will be absolutely fantastic for the programme, for the club. And it's obviously a slow and steady, I don't know what the word is, development. The club continues to go through with the amount of academy scholars that we have on board and there's also an added difficulty comes with the further the club progresses and the further the National League improves year on year. You know, you can't stand still in our league. If you stand still, you end up going backwards. So it's definitely more difficult to introduce academy scholars into the first team or to necessarily find the players that are capable and good enough. And you can clearly see that's why the under 23 development programme has been added into the sort of footballing pipeline that the club have got as well. So definitely going to be really exciting to see how that progresses in the years ahead. And like you say, definitely going to be interested in these last few games of the season, see if someone features. Matt, you found the link?
I have, yes, thank you. You talked long enough for me to find it. So the page, and you're going to have to give me a few seconds here, it's uk.virginmoneygiving.com/Neil Smith-David Cook with an E on the end.
Oh, wow. Can't you just go and find their Twitter?
It does say Virgin London Marathon, but it is Virgin London Marathon. It's completely legit.
what have they done? Is Cookie in charge of all going to set this up? Oh, no wonder.
Virgin London Marathon.
Or you can find them on Twitter.
Yeah, Cookie tweets about it quite a lot. It's actually on Neil Smith's Twitter as well, @Neil_Smudge. They've both tweeted it.
Neil. Neil just tweets about genuine stuff. Don't go to Cookie. Yeah. It's just a selfie of him having to get up early in the morning and open up or something like that.
#WakeUpSelfie. Yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah. Right. As Emma referred to there, obviously Aldershot up next. Wow, what a change of fortunes for them following last season.
Well, it's quite incredible to see, isn't it? They got in the playoffs last year and actually on the verge of progressing to the next one. They had a fantastic season. They've not been a side that we've had very much luck against either in previous meetings.
No, I mean, the Floodlights went out, one of them.
That's bad luck, definitely. But they now find themselves 22nd in the National League table with only relegated Braintree and Maidstone who are all but relegated beneath them.
You can never underestimate it. The hangover of their playoff defeat, for example, when people talk about our hangover from the trophy defeat, etc., and a lot of people where we found ourselves toward mid-season, a lot of people were going, here we go, we're finding ourselves lower down the table, etc. Sounds very similar to Aldershot, if I'm honest. It's just been the difference that we've been managed to, we put a halt to it, we stopped it, we turned it around, we brought in reinforcements, and we've, you know, we are where we are now. And maybe Aldershot haven't been able to do that.
Yeah, it's been a very, very odd season for them. And it's weird to see them down where they are. It's not typically where we've seen them in the league since we've been playing them. But they've played 41 matches. They've won 9, drawn 9, and wait for it, lost 23.
Ow.
And I know they went on a very long losing or non-winning run, shall we say.
I think it was about 20-odd games.
Yes, I think it was.
I only know that thanks to our friend at Aldershot Town, Matt.
They've actually got the third worst goal difference in the entire league, only worsened by Braintree, who are already relegated, and Maidstone, who've got the worst.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's not been a very good season for them at all. And it's very strange to see that the squad to that of last season isn't that much different, really. But I think injuries have played a part, and the lone players they've brought in haven't always been of the quality that they were last year. But yeah.
Whereas us, on the other hand, Neil Ammo, Danny, all of them, I don't know how they do it. Bringing lone players.
Yeah, it's
absolutely
great.
Absolutely hit the ground running.
And it's great. Obviously, we treat our lone players really, really well, and that makes clubs want to loan players out to you. And Charlton are a fine example of that, how well we've treated their players in previous years, and that they're always willing to help us out. Jason Yule, in particular, which is great to see.
To be fair, Matt, I think you've done a great job in giving us a bit of insight into Aldershot, but we have been lucky enough to get a bit of inside info on them.
We have, yeah. So during the week, popped a message to Chris Woods, who's the head of communications at Aldershot Town, for our weekly opposition view, if you like. And here's what Chris had to say.
Hi, chaps at Ravens Weekly. Where do I start with our season, really? It's been a disastrous campaign. Saturday against you guys could be the day we do go down into the National League South. We're hoping not. We've had a look at our next run of games, all 5 against teams in the bottom half, and 3 of those in, also in occupying them 4 relegation spots along with ourselves. So they are all winnable matches. A win would ease relegation fears for another week, certainly, at least. I think we'd have to do something nigh on impossible to pull it off. It would be a miraculous recovery, and we'd have to do something we haven't done this season. That's win 5 games in a row. So, again, looking forward to the game. We've eased our injury worries. That's been a massive factor this season. We had a winless run of 20 games, and during that there was games where we were struggling to even and field a fully fit 11. So I think that's really hurt us this year. The side we've assembled this second half of the season has been better, I've personally felt, than the side we had the first side of the season when we had you guys at our stadium. We won 3-2, I think, with a late free kick, which was a great game, and you certainly wouldn't have thought, looking at the two sides on the day there, that we'd both be where we'd be this season. I understand you guys had a great result in midweek against Leyton Orient, so Bromley certainly don't look in holiday mode, as most safe mid-table teams do this time of year, and I know your manager won't accept none of that from them either. So a game we're looking forward to. It's not a far one. All our last remaining games now are in either at home or in Kent, so not very far to travel for us. But in terms of the season, I think the less said about it the better, really. We'll just hopefully come Saturday win, and then that keeps us alive for another week, and we can look and see what other teams' results are at the end of the day and see where we are then. Obviously, it's just, yeah, it's not been a very, very good season, really. But we cannot be down. We must be positive. We must remain positive whilst we still have a fighting chance. we have to believe.
Big thank you to Chris Woods there from Aldershot Town for giving us an insight. Obviously, tough times for them at the moment. Yep, so it's Aldershot Town tomorrow, Saturday. Kick-off 3pm. Matt, tickets on sale via the website as usual?
They are indeed online on our website, bromleyfc.co.uk. Available until 1 o'clock tomorrow, or 1 o'clock on Saturday, I should say, 2 hours before kick-off. But tickets will, of course, still be available on the turnstiles on arrival. So, yeah, we want everybody to get behind the team, just like they did on Tuesday. It was fantastic support.
Oh, well, brilliant.
It really willed them on to win. And we'd like the same tomorrow. It'll be fantastic to see.
Fantastic. Obviously, we'll be back again next week for episode 34, Matt.
It looks like it,
yeah. We managed this.
It's quite an achievement.
Obviously, after that, we're going to be making the trip up to Halifax. And then on the Tuesday night, we're home to Maidstone?
We are, yes.
Kensington Cup? No, we're not home, sorry. We're just hosting it.
We're hosting, yeah. Just a note as well about Halifax. Congratulations again to Jamie Thomas and co. They've actually sold out the supporters coach to Halifax now, which is great to see. So we should be looking at another good away support there at Halifax, which is fantastic. Thank you to
great
Jamie.
Great to see him really take it on. Yeah. They've clearly made it work this year.
Very much so. And we've got plenty more, I guess, to look forward to next year as well. So big up to them. And yeah, the Kensington Cup final to look forward to as well.
Right. I think that's it, Matt. Not done bad this week, I don't think.
No, we've done quite well.
A big thank you to everybody who continues to subscribe to the podcast, downloads and listen to it. It's greatly appreciated. Like we said, we'll be back again next week. In the meantime, we'll see you all tomorrow against Aldershot Town. Someone asked me if we're showing the Grand National after the game. We are, aren't we? There's a Man City game on, but
yeah,
I'm sure we'll
cut
across to the Grand National.
Yeah.
And as always, we're open from midday.
For Bromley fans, yeah.
For Bromley fans, because no doubt there's a live TV game on beforehand as well.
There is, yes.
Brilliant. Big thank you to everybody again for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from, in Bromley.